be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning with verse 1. Come all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which shall not be destroyed. God's word for our encouragement today. Please be seated. I know as we went through 2016, and as we anticipate 2017, we're probably accustomed to the fact that we often hear bad news. It seems the front pages of newspapers and internet sites are just filled with accounts of various tragedies that produce suffering, not only for individuals, but for families or indeed whole nations. And I think we'd have to admit that much time that's allotted to newscasts on the radio and television is utilized to communicate bad news. And one could easily get the impression that there is more bad news in the world than good news. In addition, recently people have also been influenced by what some media elites have been calling fake news. But isn't so-called fake news really false news or just personal commentary that actually is not valid news at all? On this first Sunday of 2017, I'd like us to focus on God's good news of forgiveness. And we're going to look at six aspects of that today. And to hear God's news can cause us to have kind feelings toward Him and can create a deeper faith in Him as each of us will face some uncertainties in the year ahead. I'd like you to consider this a message for us, but I would like you also to consider this a personal message to each one of you. And this is true because in Isaiah 53:6, it says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And the Apostle Paul even said it more clearly in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Each of us here today is guilty of some sin of commission. We've all in some way broken God's holy laws, and we've done what's contrary to God's will and even the conscience that He's given us. Each one of us is guilty of doing or saying something that has hurt someone, even if we didn't mean to. Each one of us, as we gather here this first Sunday of the new year, is also guilty of some sin of omission. Sometimes we have neglected to worship. Sometimes we've neglected to pray. Sometimes we've refused to serve when we have the ability to do so. Sometimes we've failed to behave as the Lord wants us to do. Sometimes we've neglected and refused to give of our time and substance to help others. We've neglected many times to give our personal testimony when we had the opportunity. And if we would be very honest with ourselves, we would probably be guilty of more sins of omission than commission. But there's another type of sin, I think, that we have to consider if we're to grow as Christians. And that is, sometimes we're guilty of a sin of disposition. We've had times when maybe we've been motivated by false pride and a self-righteousness that can be hurtful to others and even hypocritical. And sometimes we have to confess that we're often motivated by nothing less than unadulterated human selfishness. It's so easy to think of I, me, and myself. And I wonder if there's anybody here this morning who could stand up and say that they have never harbored a critical, fault-finding spirit that looked for flaws and defects in the life of another person. Perhaps there have been times we've been unwilling to admit it even to ourselves. But even as Christians, do we sometimes, if we would really admit it, have hatred and hostility toward other people? You know, sin is a short word, but it's a complicated word, isn't it? And sin always affects people in destructive ways. Sin creates a sense of shame and guilt in the heart of the offender. Sin causes people to flee from God's presence and God's people. Sin causes people to fear death and eternity. Sin creates despair. Sin robs people of their purpose for living. Sin alienates people from God. Sin separates people from each other and destroys everything that is most beautiful and satisfying in life. Some of you know there was a Hollywood song years ago, I think it was from Fiddler on the Roof, called Miracle of Miracles. But you know what the miracle of miracles really is? It's that a holy God offers forgiveness to sinful people. And this is such good news that it's so difficult for many people to accept it, let alone believe it. And in the book of Isaiah, God declared that he forgives sin because of his own nature and for his own joy. Isaiah 43:25. David rejoiced in the free, full forgiveness of God. That's recorded in Psalm 103, the first four verses. Forgiveness is defined in many ways in the scriptures. It is a blotting out of transgressions. It is a divine forgetfulness in which God chooses to remember our sins no more. He covers our sins so as to conceal them, even from his own penetrating eyesight. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the removal of a charge against an offender, a restoration of kind feelings. And forgiveness is also defined as a decision to repudiate the right to retaliate or punish the person who has offended us. First point about forgiveness. Through forgiveness, God lets us get right with himself. There's no way that any of us could have ever atoned for our own sins. There's no way any of us could have purchased redemption from punishment. There's no way any of us can be good enough to earn God's favor and title to an eternity of, and this is the word we're going to study more about Wednesday night, fellowship with God. You know, people are totally helpless at the point of either purchasing or meriting the favor of God. And Isaiah described in chapter 64, verse 6, the worth of human efforts to earn the favor of God as having no more value than filthy, dirty rags. God offers us a gift of forgiveness because of his mercy. He offers us the privilege of getting right with him as a free gift. Forgiveness can never be purchased by our human achievement, but it comes through God's grace that was manifested in that love through Jesus Christ. David in Psalm 32:1 described the joy of being forgiven. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Second, through forgiveness, God leads us to get right with one another. And I would have to confess, during my 20 plus years of ministry, that is one of the most important things that can happen in the life of any congregation, is for each person to get right with each other. Because God has forgiven us, we can be forgiving toward others. Obviously, everyone in here has experienced some type of injury at the hands of somebody else. Some of those injuries were accidental. Other times, perhaps the insults were deliberate. And we have a choice. We can live by a law of retaliation. We can try to get back. We can try to punish people who have mistreated us. But if we choose to do that, we'll discover that the hostility within the heart brings more harm to that person that contains it than it does upon the victim on which that hostility is poured out. Remember the model prayer that we pray every Sunday, the Lord's Prayer? Jesus gave that to his disciples to reveal that if we would experience God's full forgiveness, we must first practice that forgiveness toward others. Third point, through forgiveness, God enables us to get right with ourselves. Do you know there are people who can't forgive themselves? They continually punish themselves for past sins. They refuse to forgive themselves, and to refuse to do that is to refuse to do what God has willingly and graciously done for each one of us. And to refuse forgiveness for ourselves is to be guilty of a painful self-destruction that gets deeper and deeper as time goes by. Now, to forgive doesn't mean that we condone or permit something that is wrong. To forgive means to renounce the right to retaliate. I'm sure every minister could share the agony that some congregations experience because of people who can't forgive themselves for some mistake they made in the past. And perhaps the feeling of guilt is due to their personal refusal to forgive themselves and accept God's forgiveness. The Apostle Paul, I'm amazed about his life. You know, much of the New Testament is autobiographical about Paul. And Paul, he could have spent his entire life in a mood of melancholy self-condemnation. Because what was his prior career before he became a Christian? He was a persecutor of Christians. He tortured Christians. He saw Christians put to death. But when God forgave him, Paul forgave himself. He recognized that there were some things in the past that must be forgotten if he was going to constructively face the future. Sometimes people choose a passage or a verse to be a theme verse for a new year. And I encourage you to choose these words from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Where the Apostle Paul wrote, "Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." We as Christians do ourselves, God, and others no good service by continuing to dwell on our past failures and sins. We have to learn to forgive ourselves if we want to advance and grow in God's love and grace. A fourth point. Through forgiveness, God encourages us to joyfully worship. The Lord wants us to approach His throne of grace in love with gratitude and praise on our lips. God wants our time of worship together to be a time of victory. He wants us to lift joyful voices. But we can only do that when we've accepted His forgiveness and when we have forgiven ourselves and even other people who have offended us. You know, is guilt always bad? Not always. Guilt can only be good if it leads to confession and a joyful experience of forgiveness and cleansing. A fifth point. Through forgiveness, God invites us to engage in service for Him. Remember, after Isaiah experienced the cleansing from filth of sin, he was able to hear the voice of God calling for those who would serve Him in Isaiah 6:8. Remember, after Isaiah had experienced this cleansing with gratitude in his heart, Isaiah was able to say, "Here am I, send me." There's a lot of impossible things in this world. And I think one impossible thing is for us to labor under a burden of guilt for unforgiven sin and at the same time to be able to serve God and other people. It's just not going to happen. A sixth point. Through forgiveness, God fills our hearts with the hope of heaven. God doesn't want people to live in fear of missing heaven. He doesn't want people to say, "Well, I hope I'll get there." He wants us to live in the glad consciousness that we are to be a part of God's family and that we can dwell together in our Father's house forever. Our Lord tried to comfort the disciples with the precious promises as He informed them about His immediate departure from them in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. To have the assurance that heaven will be our eternal home encourages an indescribable love for God. It gives rise to gratitude and makes possible a life devoted to spiritual service and sacrifice. I'm going to say a sentence. I'm going to say this very slowly because it's so profound. Although God offers forgiveness that is full, free, and forever, He does not bestow this gift indiscriminately. For you see, forgiveness can only be received by those who are willing to seek the Lord with all their hearts as they inwardly turn from the attitudes and ways that are contrary to God's will. That's what we just read about in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 to 8. You see, forgiveness comes when we're sincerely willing to turn from evil and to trust God for the guidance and the help necessary. What is conversion? Conversion is primarily a change in a basic inner attitude toward God, toward sin, toward self, and toward other people. And when this change of attitude occurs in our hearts because we've heard and received the good news, that is when divine forgiveness takes place. And you can read examples about that in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and Acts chapter 10, verse 43. God is interested in us this first day of 2017. He is interested not only in forgiving past sins, but He is interested in delivering us from the destructive practice of sin in the present and in the future. Repentance, a deep inward change of attitude, that involves turning from sin to God. And it makes possible for God to bless us with a forgiveness that can and will be forever full and free. I know on January 1st, it's very popular for people to make New Year's resolutions. And as we stand for our hymn of invitation today, maybe the Lord would have you come and commit your New Year's resolution to prayer. As we stand and turn to number 491, Jesus, I Come. Number 491.